Let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, you have promised. It will only be a little while before we will see you, and our sorrows and griefs will be turned to joy. Grant us your Spirit this day, and give us patience and a heart and mind that anticipates the joy that will come, so that we would rejoice even now as we sojourn here below. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus says, a little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. He himself goes on to explain this to his disciples and to us, telling us, I say to you, you will weep and lament, the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. He says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy and no one will take your joy from you. This is our text in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. So how about it? How long is a little while? Well, I suppose it kind of depends. When you're getting the car to go on that family road trip, Mom and Dad always said, we'll be there in a little while. Sometimes it was an hour or two. Sometimes it was a day or two. Or think about it this way. When finally the last quarter of the school year arrives, it will only be a little while before school gets out, but it stretches on for weeks. Or how about this? When fall sets in, we get our first frost, the leaves start falling to the ground, it really will only be a little while before summer will begin again. And we'll be complaining about the heat. That's nearly 6 months. Our experience of a little while depends on our perspective. A little while in comparison to what? Compared to how long it will be before I eat my next meal, the first snowfall is a long way off from now. But compared to how long ago it was when God created all things, it really was only a little while ago when you were born. For the disciples in the upper room, as Jesus is speaking to them, a little while has a very definite time period. We know it well. They may not so. 3 days. In fact, only 2 nights. But the disciples no doubt thought it felt like an eternity. There's another thing about this phrase, a little while. It's not only dependent on the scale of the comparison, it also depends on how much we anticipate the arrival of the moment. Most parents know that as the last weeks of pregnancy tick away, each day feels like it becomes longer and longer. Moms know this better than dads. The last hours before labor begins are generally the worst. They seem to stretch on forever. Then the trial and travail of labor comes, and for many women, it seems to stretch longer than the whole pregnancy, at least in their subjective experience in the moment. Between the eager anticipation of the child and the suffering being undergone, a little while does not seem to pass quickly. So with all of this in mind, it's no wonder that the disciples wondered to themselves as they heard Jesus, what does he mean by a little while? Especially when they clearly have no idea what's going to happen next. Now, we know that they should have. There were many times when Jesus declared plainly to them, we're going to Jerusalem for the Passover. I will be raised up on the cross, suffer, die, and rise again on the third day. It should have put a clear boundary on the time period of a little while in the mind of the disciples. We could restate Jesus' words from our text this way. Jesus said, in a few hours, I will be taken from you, and you will not see me. And then again, after 3 days, I will rise again, and you will see me. And that would have been true for the disciples to whom he was speaking in that moment. But Jesus is giving his final discourse to the disciples and also talking to the church at large. And he's talking about several realities all at the same time. It would only be a little while and they would not see him because he would be on the cross and die and be placed into the grave. And then it would only be a little while after they saw him again, before he would ascend into heaven, they would no longer see him with their eyes, but he would be at the Father's side. So also, it would only be a little while from that time when Jesus ascends, when we will all see him again, having ended our course in this world, joining him in the throne room, unless, of course, he returns first. So Jesus is talking about all of these realities at once. He's talking to us as believers. Or you could think about it this way. When you leave here this morning, it will only be a little while before you see Jesus again. In just a little while, I will hold up his body and his blood and declare to you, the peace of the Lord be with you always, and you will see the flesh and blood of Jesus. Then you will depart this place. You will go on with your life, and it will be a little while, until Wednesday or possibly next weekend, when you return to once again see Jesus in his flesh and blood. Jesus is speaking about the whole reality of the church in this passage. In a little while, the church, through this small band of believers in the upper room hearing Jesus that day, will not see Jesus when he ascends on high, and then in a little while, which has now stretched some 2,000 years, the church on earth will see their Lord coming in clouds of glory when he establishes the new heavens, the new earth. And all of it will only be a little while. That's how Jesus wants us to think about it. It's only a little while. He uses this phrase that he would build up within us patience and resilience. He knows for sure how trying and difficult living life in this world is. He knows better than we do, in fact. The sorrow and grief, the weeping and lament he speaks about is not only describing his sorrow and trial, or the sorrow and the trial of the disciples themselves that they will endure between his death and resurrection, but it describes all of life in this world while we wait for the restoration of all things with the Lord's return. We weep and lament. We weep and lament the fact that our sinful heart and flesh remain with us. We weep and lament that the world itself is infected with this leprosy, causing untold grief and sorrow and trial. We weep and lament knowing that our own actions have caused grief and sorrow to others, even as the actions of others cause grief and sorrow to us. But our Lord also tells us this will only be for a little while. And then he goes on to tell us something more. He tells us there's actually a point to it all. He tells us not only will there be an end in a little while, but there's a reason for it here and now. The grief and trial and sorrow has a purpose. For in the midst of it all, God himself is at work. Just as in the womb of mothers, God is at work knitting together a precious soul whom the mother will bring forth when the time is right, so also through the church, through the sufferings and trials and travails of its members, through the labors and efforts we all expend to live honorably in this life, as Peter tells us to do, to give witness to Christ by our words and our deeds, the Lord is at work, bringing the hope of salvation of Jesus into the lives of others. Now, we don't always see it. We don't always know that it's happening. And it's difficult, often through the trials of life, as St. Peter points out. But through these things, through our honorable, faithful conduct in the world sees our faithful devotion. They see our honorable life. They see that we don't depend on the praise and glory of men, but we live in faith toward God and love toward others nonetheless. Now some will see it and give glory to God in this life. They will come to know that we do these things because God in Christ has loved us and he has given himself up for us, and he gives us his Spirit to enable us to patiently endure through this life, waiting for the joy that is to come when Jesus returns in clouds of glory. Sadly, others will only be convinced when he finally does return in clouds of glory and points to us and declares they were right. But because of their stubbornness, their own rejection, those others will be condemned. But that's not the case for all. There are some number who will encounter us in this life. They will see us. They will hear us express our faith in actual words spoken in their ears, declaring the wondrous works of God for mankind. And by that, Jesus will bring them to faith. They will come to know the love of God who sent his only begotten Son to rescue and save sinners from death and hell. God will use our patient endurance, our continued faithfulness in the midst of this world for this little while, in order that his voice would be heard by others as he calls to them, "Come unto me, you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest to your souls." And if we are blessed to see that while we are still alive, we will rejoice for a little while that a new believer has come to faith. Holy Mother, the Church, will have brought forth another child, and all of us will rejoice, at least for a little while. But even if we don't see it, even if we don't experience it in our own lifetime, we have faith and trust that God is doing his work during this little while of our sojourning. We have patience and endure the sufferings and trials and tribulations brought about by our faithfulness, as we faithfully obey what the Lord commands, because we look forward to the return of our Lord Jesus in a little while. Because then we will be made to see, and our hearts will be made to rejoice, and it will be revealed just how Christ Jesus has dealt mercifully, not only with us, but with so many others in the world. And then we will see with our own eyes the whole multitude of believers. And some we will recognize, people whose lives were impacted by our own patient endurance, by our own faithfully bearing up under the sufferings and trials of this life, even through the anguish and grief we experience. And in that day, which is only just a little while away, when our Lord Jesus returns in clouds of glory to gather us to himself, it will then be impossible for our joy to be taken from us. In our text, our Lord Jesus is encouraging us to see this life from his perspective. Our life lasts only a little while. There are moments of joy, moments of grief. There are little moments of suffering and sorrow and little moments of rejoicing. But in the big picture, all of it only lasts a little while. And Jesus tells us this to push us to be patient as we anticipate those eternal joys, knowing that in the midst of this time, he is at work, knowing in the midst of it all, he is actively seeking the lost lambs so that they will hear his voice, and he will gather them to himself so that in a little while, when he comes again, his mansion will be full. And we will rejoice with the great multitude who have been brought out of this great tribulation to the eternal presence of him who promises all of us. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And now may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish and strengthen you so that you may be perfected in him. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.